Oh, let's give God some praise in the house. Come on, could you clap your hands unto the Lord? Anybody excited about being in the house of the Lord? Hallelujah. Amen, amen. What a beautiful presence of the Lord I feel in the house. It's good to be at the upper room. I like what I see. I love what I feel. I feel what I like. And this is what it's all about. Someone say praise God. Amen. I know you've been standing. Why don't you be seated for just a moment? I'll have you stand here in a minute to read the word of the Lord. I want to say just a few things to you as a church. I commend this church for the step that you have taken for your future. A lot of times we focus in on the leadership, and rightly so, and I will talk about that here in a moment. But there's something to be said about the people of God who, in the middle of a transition, take it and run with it. And don't fight it and don't push against it and accept what God has done. And it's evident in this house this morning by what we feel that this church has caught a hold of some things that has been transferred to you by your leadership. And I have a feeling some great things are ahead of this church. Amen. To Brother and Sister Galone, he mentioned, I am the sectional presbyter, but what you may not remember or don't know is he held that position for 14 years, I think, when Noah came off the ark or something like that. No. And so I was put into that position, and that's not always a comfortable thing. I'm just going to be honest. I'm talking from my perspective, because I had to step into the leadership of Brother and Sister Galone, and those are some big shoes to fill. How many love the bishop and his wife? Aren't they tremendous people? Give honor where honor is due, the Bible says. These are great people. These are great people. Amen. Amen. And they're great in so many ways. Probably some of the most Christian people you'll ever meet in your life are Brother and Sister Galone. I've known them for many, many years. In fact, when I was a teenager, we used to come by Imperial Beach. I grew up in Idaho, and we'd come by on our way to youth convention or something and go to church here and back in the old building, I believe, years ago. But I love and appreciate Brother and Sister Galone to make the step that they have made to pass the baton on to the younger generation and be able to stand there and support is very, very commendable, and I appreciate them. This story of what God has done here needs to be told all over the United States, in my opinion, because I love it when it goes right. I like it when it goes right. And that says a lot about your bishop and his wife. Sister Galone, our prayers are with you over the next few weeks. We have been praying for you. We'll continue to do so. Amen. And your pastor and his wife, Brother and Sister Rivera, two of the finest people, in my opinion, in the world. This is a tremendous, tremendous couple. Amen. Tremendous leadership, not only here in the local church, but also in the district as youth president. I'm going to say something, and I'm just taking my time because I'm old enough to now. I don't give a rip anymore. I'm 50. I turned 50 a few weeks ago, and I think at 50 you can just say whatever you want. So I'm just going to say whatever I want. Y'all want to leave, you can leave, but I'll still be talking about whatever I want. I'm going to say this. You will never lose as a church honoring and supporting your pastor, his wife, and their children. Love their children. Support their children. Don't expect that their children are going to do everything right. I was hoping to get a little better amen than that. Now, we hope they do, but they probably won't because they haven't had a real good example by mom and dad. They haven't done everything right. I'm just picking now. I better stop. As they get older, honor them, support them. Don't try to pit them against people in the church. Hello? Hello? They're going to go through struggles. They're going to go through things. This church needs to get behind them. I've watched churches destroy preachers' kids because they got jealous. They got upset. Whatever the situation, they're preachers' kids. You know what? They're normal people. They're normal people. Amen. So just treat them as they grow older. Of course, they're young now, and they're just cute. But they're going to come a day when they're going to be, they ain't going to be that cute. I'm just going to be honest with you. They're going to get on your nerves. My own kids still get on my nerves. Amen. They're getting older. I'm 2 years away from empty nest. I'm excited. Praise God. We're going to downsize houses. I'm going to spend all their retirement. I'm going to do it all. They're not going to have nothing. They get their own. I supported them. Amen. I'm just teasing. Amen. But love your pastor and his wife. You're a blessed, blessed people. Good to see Brother Sharp here today. Love you, Brother Sharp. Appreciate you very much. Amen. It's a good man. Amen. I watched him as a young man grow up. Now he's a married man with kids. Jonathan, I'm proud of you. You are a good young man. Your family's a great family. Amen. I don't know if I've come with a message so much as I've come with a word. I really feel like God gave me a specific word for this church today. And I know you were looking for probably someone a little younger, and Brother Sanders, as I mentioned, not as good looking as me, but we'll work on that. And I do feel like God has given me something, and I believe God wants to do something. His presence is here. His spirit is here. Amen. This praise team took it to the next level. Sister Rivera, God bless you. I'm trying to figure out how we can switch our service schedules around so we can get you in Escondido, Imperial Beach, and in El Cajon all in one day. If we're going to pay you full time, let's just work this out. I'll be talking to you about that. I do offer probably a little bit more money than him, so we definitely need to talk. But he's your brother. He ain't going to pay you what I could pay you. Come on, somebody. Amen, amen, amen. Appreciate you, Sister Rivera. Amen. Very, very much. So good to have my wife with me. She doesn't always get to go with me. I love my wife. Appreciate her so much. Stand with me, if you will. Stand with me. John chapter 1, verse 44. John chapter 1, verse 44. Then we'll be going to John 14. Thank you for the invite. They are in the middle of church right now at home, so pastor's a little anxious. So I'm trying to get all that out of my mind. It's holiday week. I've already got my phone was blowing up this morning. Everybody's going to be gone. I was like, oh, dear Lord, amen. I probably need to be there. But you know what? It's good for them. They don't need me there all the time. Praise God. John chapter 1, verse 44 says this. Now, Philip was of Bethsaida, the city of Andrew and Peter. Philip findeth Nathanael, saith unto him, we have found him of whom Moses in the law and the prophets did write, Jesus of Nazareth, the son of Joseph. And Nathanael said unto him, can there any good thing come out of Nazareth? Philip says unto him, come and see. Jesus saw Nathanael coming to him, says of him, behold, an Israelite indeed, in whom is no guile. Nathanael said unto him, whence knowest thou me? Jesus answered and said unto him, before that Philip calleth thee, when thou wast under the fig tree, I saw thee. Nathanael answered and said unto him, Rabbi, thou art the Son of God, thou art the King of Israel. Jesus answered and said unto him, watch this, because I said to you that I saw you under this fig tree, you're going to believe in me just because I said that? Thou shalt see greater things than these. Everyone look at your neighbor and say, greater things. And he said unto them, verily, verily, I say unto you, hereafter you shall see heaven open, the angels of God ascending and descending upon the Son of Man. John 14, verse number 8 says this, Philip said unto him, Lord, show us the Father, and it sufficeth us. Jesus said unto him, have I been so long time with you, and yet hast thou not known me, Philip? He that hath seen me hath seen the Father. And how sayest thou then, show us the Father? Believest thou not that I am in the Father, and the Father in me? The words that I speak unto you, I speak not of myself, but the Father that dwelleth in me, he doeth the works. Believe me that I am in the Father in me, or else believe me for the very work's sake. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that believeth on me, the works that I do shall he do also. and greater works. Everyone say greater works. Greater works than these shall he do, because I go unto my Father. Whatsoever you shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If you shall ask anything in my name, I will do it. With the help of the Holy Ghost for the next few moments, I want to preach to you just a simple thought: greater things. Greater things. Clap your hands one more time to the Lord. Hallelujah. Praise God. Amen. You may be seated. You know what? I would much, much rather preach a wedding than a funeral. I would. Funerals are not always fun. Weddings are joyous. Weddings are awesome. Weddings are filled with joy and anticipation and excitement. Everyone's just ready to see the bride walk down the aisle and the reaction on the groom's face. And I remember when I saw my wife come through that door just about, 7-8 years ago when we got married. I remember thinking to myself, I'm probably going to pass out. I can't believe I'm actually getting to marry her. How did this happen? And the excitement. But one thing that is interesting, almost in every wedding that I've been to, is that there comes the point in the sermon where the preacher makes a statement that you hear at every single wedding. And he says this: what God has joined together, let no man put asunder. And when you hear those words, it reminds you all over again that there are things that God puts together that nothing or no one can ever tear apart. There are things that God establishes in this world and in the world to come that no man and no woman, no trial, no hardship, no pain, no suffering can ever destroy. In fact, it was the Apostle Paul who declared in Romans 8:31, what shall we then say to these things? If God be for us, who can be against us? He would go on to say, who shall separate us from the love of Christ? Shall tribulation or distress or persecution or famine or weakness or nakedness or peril or sword, as it is written, for thy sake we are killed all the day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. Nay, in all these things, what things? The things that come against us. We are more than conquerors through him that loved us. For I am persuaded that neither death nor life nor angels nor principalities nor powers nor things present nor things to come nor height nor depth nor any other creature shall be able to separate us from the love of God which is in Christ Jesus. Can I go on record on a Sunday morning at the upper room and tell you there is absolutely nothing that can keep you from what God has established and what God is put in order. It does not matter the darkness of the night. It does not matter the diagnosis of a doctor. If God has spoken it and God has declared it, it shall come to pass. I don't care if you're sitting here today and all you've done is wept through the night. I got a word for you. Weeping may endure for the night, but joy is coming in the morning. Sometimes you just got to hang on, because if God declared it, it shall come to pass. Hallelujah. All four of the Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, begin by placing Jesus within an historical setting. But the Gospel of John is unique in the way that it opens. The book of Matthew will begin with the genealogy of Jesus that connects him to David and Abraham. Mark would start with the preaching of John the Baptist. Luke has a dedication of his work to, he dedicates his work to Theophilus and follows that with a prediction of the birth of John the Baptist. But the Apostle John, the book of John, the Gospel of John, begins with a theological prologue, if you will. It's almost as if John has says, I want you to consider Jesus in his teaching and his deeds, but you will not understand the good news of Jesus in its fullness unless you view him from this point of view. Jesus is more than just an historical figure. Jesus is more than just someone who walked across the earth. Jesus is God manifest in the flesh. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. I want something to be established, John said, that it doesn't matter what you're facing. He's still God and God alone, and he deserves to be recognized. And in our text today, which we read from John chapter 1, we see the calling of this disciple by the name of Nathanael. Jesus calls him. Nathanael is blown away that Jesus mentioned that he saw him before Philip ever invited him to come and see this so-called Messiah. Jesus is quick to let Nathanael know, Bubba, you think that's something? You ain't seen nothing yet. If you thought that while you were sitting under the fig tree, I saw you is a big deal, you better tighten up your seatbelt. I'm fixing to blow your ever-living mind. There is a spiritual connection that is scattered throughout the Word of God when it comes to our five senses. You have touch, hearing, smell, taste, and sight. I don't have time to lead us through the Word to view each one, but suffice it to say, there is more emphasis placed on two of the five senses. There is emphasis placed on hearing, and there's emphasis placed on sight. And in our passage that we read today, Jesus is telling Nathanael, if you thought me seeing you under that tree was something special, you might want to adjust your horn-rimmed glasses, because I'm getting ready to show you things you never ever dreamed were possible. Can I preach to Upper Room Church what I felt the Holy Ghost speaking to my spirit early this morning? Amen. You have seen good things happen. In fact, you've seen great things happen in your past, but I prophesy to this church, and I do not say that lightly. You've not seen anything yet. Greater things are coming. Hello, somebody. I said greater things are coming. Can I declare to every one of you that have seen God bring you out over and over and brought you through, can I remind you again, you've not seen anything yet. You thought he touched you once, he's going to touch you again. You thought he brought revival once, he's going to bring revival again. I have a word for Upper Room. Greater things are coming. I cut my teeth in Pentecost, all right? I am third generational Pentecostal. All I've known is preaching, praying, prophesying, and peanut brittle. I grew up eating so much peanut brittle, my arm fell off. I hate this stuff. If you all have a peanut brittle fundraiser, I'm not buying squat from you. I love you. I'll give you $20 and you can give it to the pastor's kids. I hate the stuff. Amen. But I know this. I remember as a 7-year-old kid, the Holy Ghost falling in Salinas, California, and my mom getting out there and my dad getting out. You've come too late to tell me God's dead. You've come too late to tell me miracles are a thing of the past. You've come too late to tell me God is still, hello, God's still in the healing business. Now, I know I only look about, I used to say I look around 29, but I've kind of bumped it up to 39 because I hit my 50-year-old birthday party here a few minutes ago, or a few weeks ago. I was born in 1969, so the 70s were kind of my understanding of Pentecost. Okay, back in the 70s, how many were in church in the 70s, in a Pentecostal church? Let me see your hand. Y'all had some hairdos back then, ladies. You had those beehive. Anybody remember those beehive hairdos? I mean, they put oatmeal boxes in there to get that thing. They'd have contests. How high is your hair today? My hair is 17 feet high. Hey, amen. Yours is only 15. You win. But I remember my mama getting out there when the Holy Ghost's going and start to. And that hair looked like the Leaning Tower of Pisa. Before it was over, bobby pins are flying everywhere. Amen. But honey, the Holy Ghost would get to moving. That was just some great days of Pentecost. But I'm here to tell you, that was yesterday. And greater things are in the works. Amen. Because I serve a God that is the same yesterday, today, and forever. If he brought a revival back in the 80s, he can bring it back in 2019. Greater things! Jesus is very quick to let young Nathaniel know, you think this is special, look around. There's coming a day during this year you're going to have to come to church a bit early because your seat is going to be full. I feel this in the Holy Ghost. You're looking at a man that believes this church hasn't seen its best days yet. Thank God for the legacy your bishop left. He built the foundation for this thing to go to the next level. And pastor and sister are taking it there. Amen. Because they're standing on a solid foundation. You got parking problems now. Get ready. You're going to see greater things. Greater things to see. Greater things to happen. Greater revival. Greater miracles. Greater signs. Greater wonders. Greater things. I want this word to get into the heart of your church. I felt it early this morning. Greater. Greater. Greater.
Walk through the book of Hebrews. It's all about greater things. You go through Hebrews. It lays the foundation of greater. Jesus is greater than the prophets. He's greater than the angels. He's greater than Moses. He's greater than the sacrifices in the Old Testament. Listen to me. God is not a God that does something one time, folds his hands, and go to sleep. He's working in ways we've never seen him work before. Amen. We're going to see this word come to pass. Amen. In Upper Room Church. Amen. No weapon formed against you shall prosper. If God is for you, who can be against you? I still believe there should be light at evening time. Look at your neighbor and say, you ain't seen nothing yet. You ain't seen nothing yet. You know, my parents would pull tricks sometimes at Christmas growing up. They'd hide things. Anybody have mean parents like that? They'd hide your gifts. I don't know if we've ever done that. My wife plays little games. She don't put any names on the gifts hardly at all anymore. And she's got a system, and we have to go through this special system to get the gift. It's like CIA, FBI stuff, you know, only she knows about. And I'm like, dear God, just give me a gift, Santa. I would look in every nook and cranny I could, Brother Roosh, looking for what was rightfully mine. I was like checking it out. Man, maybe they bought me an arm this year, you know. Some of y'all know what I talk about. You just hope you got better looking. I better stop. You controlling me out here? All right. Good job. Way to go, control man. I'd go through the house. I'd look in every nook and cranny. I'd try to find what was mine. This is so stupid, but it's so simple, but it's so powerful. Sometimes you got to quit just expecting the pastor to pull something out of his hat for revival to happen. You got to walk into the house of God looking. Where's it coming from? Is it going to come from the Word today? Is it going to come from the worship today? Is it down in this altar? Hey, amen. I got to get something. Hey, amen. You're looking at a person right here. I'm tired of trying to get program to replace power. Program can never replace power. I don't care how good you put it together. We got to have a divine move of the Holy Ghost. You got to keep looking. You got to keep worshiping. You got to keep expecting. You gotta keep believing. My wife and I don't 2001, we took a little small church in Van Nuys, California. You remember that? You ever been to that little church there on Tyrone Avenue? It's where Brother and Sister Chacon are at now. Brother Rivera, if the termites would have let go holding hands, that building would have fell down. I mean, it was that bad. It was rough. It was bad. Van Nuys is considered to be the porn capital of the world. It was a rough area. And I remember 20 people voting us in. And I remember told my wife and said, okay, I don't know how we're going to do it. I don't know what's going to happen. But you grab this aisle over here, and I'll take that aisle over there. And we'll just worship. I don't care if they stare at us. I don't care if they look at us funny. I don't care. We had Carson wasn't that old. Ashton was just a baby. Avery wasn't even born yet. And I remember my wife getting out in that aisle and starting to worship. And I'd get to worship over there. Before we knew it, there'd be two of us worshiping over here. And three or four over there. And then five or six. And then seven or eight. By the time we left there and came down to Escondido, 20 people turned into 130 on our last service in about 4 years' time. Come on, somebody. You can't just come expecting somebody to get the job done for you. You got to come with some expectation. One thing we're missing in Pentecost is a little bit of expectation. We want program to rule the day. We have got to believe that with God, all things are possible. I feel miracle power in the house today. I feel Holy Ghost power in the house today. It's time to, when you come to church upper room, you walk in just kind of bug-eyed. You know what would help your pastor out more than anything? Is you came in with, you know what helped the worship team out more than anything? Instead of you standing there waiting for Sister Rivera to turn the crank and get this thing going, you're like, when they gonna start? When's he gonna do? Come on, dude. When's he gonna go? Hey. Don't get me started. Instead of waiting for Sister So-and-so to get it rolling, why don't you walk in saying, I have a feeling this is gonna be a good day. This is a Holy Ghost Sunday. This is a miracle Sunday. This is a revival Sunday. Expectation. We gotta have it in Pentecost. We gotta have expectation. We gotta believe all things are possible. We gotta believe what God said in His Word. Hey, the prophet has a wingman, and he tells the wingman, I just got done prophesying rain's coming. And the wingman's looking outside. It's San Diego weather. There's not a cloud in the sky. His little protege goes out there because the prophet said, go look. Go see if you can see any clouds. But Sharp, not a thing. Comes back. I don't see Jack. Don't see nothing. Go look again. Nothing. Go look again. Nothing. Go look again. Nothing. Finally, he goes out there and he's like, this is getting ridiculous. I'm tired of doing what this old man's telling me to do. He's got me running around out here. I think he's tired of me and he's trying to get me out of his hair. Finally, goes out there and off in the distance, he sees the cloud, the size.
size of a man's hand. And he comes back with a little bit of excitement. And he says, I see it. It may not be the first Sunday you walk in that you get your miracle. It may not be 3 weeks from now. But just keep looking and keep expecting. Look again. Look again. Look again. Look again. You'll see it. There's a cloud the size of a man's hand. Rain is coming. Rain is coming. Revival is here. Some of you have seen nothing but hardship and pain. Some of you have seen nothing but sickness and disease. But I see something on the horizon. It's greater than your hardship. It's greater than your pain. It's greater than your hurt. It's greater than your sickness. I feel to tell somebody this. I don't know who this is for. It may not be for anybody. I don't know. You can take it for whatever. Put it down in my notes. Someone needs to hear this. You will see your miracle before you die. You will. You will. You will. God has spoken to some of you and you haven't seen it. That child is still lost. That husband is still unsaved. I got a word for you and I feel to tell you, hang on, you're going to see it. Let me preach to you for just a few more minutes. Ezekiel saw a valley full of dry bones, but God saw an army. Gideon saw a group of Midianites and Amorites, but God saw 300 warriors. Joshua and Caleb, amen, saw the plush of a new land. Amen. When everybody else around them saw nothing. Naaman saw nothing but leprosy. But the servant girl saw a miracle in the word of the prophet. 10 spies saw the giants and the walled cities. But Joshua saw victory. Sometimes you just got to believe that with God all things are possible. I don't care the size of your mountain. I don't care the nature of your disease. I don't care if you're divorced, if you're broke, busted, or disgusted. There is a God in this house that has the power. Hey! Hey! Miracles in the house. Miracles in the house. Because Jesus is here. Woo. I've been on this kick. I've been on this kick lately, looking at the book of Acts, seeing everything that they've done, everything that they're doing. You stay right there, brother and sister Hinojosa. God's got a word for you today. Amen. I felt this in the Holy Ghost as of late. I am so tired of us trying to package our services into a cute little package with a ribbon on it. We ought to tear the paper off like you did at Christmas when you were a kid and say, come on, God, pour it out. Let God be God. I said, let God be God. Because with God, there are greater things in store. Throughout the book of Acts, they looked, they worked, they desired God to do the works he did through his church. Amen. They saw it. The book of Acts is just a template of what the New Testament church can do. Amen. It's just a template. It's not the end all. It's not the only way things get done. It's just a template for us to follow. But I believe this end time church, amen, she'll do greater works than the church in the book of Acts. That was us the beginning. But before you throw me to the curb as being heretical, our world is experiencing greater revival than the early church ever experienced. I think we've elevated the book of Acts a little bit too high. It's just a template. Greater, greater, greater work shall you do. Stand with me. I'm just about done. Stand with me. We take the book of Acts and we put it way up here. And we say, whoo. That's the ultimate. We are having historians and people that study this kind of thing that are a lot smarter than me are saying right now, every 2 seconds, someone is receiving the baptism of the Holy Ghost in the world.
There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's one. There's another 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 one. Honey, this ain't Book of Acts stuff. This is end time church stuff. This is latter day rain coming on us, and it shall be greater than the former. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Clap your hands unto the Lord. Greater works. Greater works. Greater works. It's not hype. Let me just say this. This thing's going out the way that it came in. It went in with signs and wonders. It's going out with signs and wonders. I still believe you shall lay hands on the sick. I still believe you shall prophesy. I still believe you can speak to those things that are not as though they already are. You shall, not somebody else, you shall receive this. Hello? So here's what I've come to say. And now I'm going to really step out here, and Pastor may not like this next part, but that's all right. Amen. This church, Pastor Rivera, here's what I felt in the Holy Ghost this morning. This is not your final building in Imperial Beach. This is not your final build. This is not going to hold. You're going to do the multiple service thing. You're going to get that done, but this is not the final building. God is setting you up, Bishop and Sister Bishop. Put a foundation down. They got this place built. Amen. And it was sufficient for the time. But now is a greater things time. Now is greater works. Amen. I don't care what the diagnosis is. There is healing for you, Sister Hinojosa, in the name of Jesus. I know what the treatment's saying need to happen. But I know there's a God that is able. Let healing flow right now in this body from the top of her head to the sole of her feet. In the name of Jesus, greater, 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 greater. In the name of Jesus, in the name of Jesus, greater things, greater things. I feel faith starting to rise in this house. Let's let up a worship. I got more to preach, but I feel like we're in the Holy Ghost right now. I want everybody that needs a miracle. I just feel this. You need a miracle. Come stand right here on my right side. You need a physical miracle. Come quickly. Come quickly. In the name of Jesus. Anybody need the Holy Ghost, come right over here, right in front of the keyboard. Come on, you need the Holy Ghost. God's going to fill you with the Holy Ghost. Our God is a miracle working God. Greater things shall ye do. I'm looking for some people of faith that'll walk through this crowd and begins to lay hands on them and begin to believe that God's going to heal. Begin to believe that God's going to fill. Come on, church, can you believe it right now? As the praise team gets ready, amen, the Holy Ghost is going to start moving. You need something from the Lord. Get out from where you are. Amen. Let the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost, let the Holy Ghost do the work. Let the Holy Ghost touch your body. Let the Holy Ghost heal your mind. Let the Holy Ghost touch your family. Let the Holy Ghost speak through you. In the name of Jesus, healing, miracles, signs, wonders.